also, in regards to the reminder, I found reminders in it, just found them in my spam filter.
The recordings have started, sir.
Thank you. And Glenn, if you would, could you do the roll, please?
Yes, certainly, Paul. We have on the call Kevin Ertman, Paul Diaz, Sebastian Bachelet, Mikey O'Connor, Barbara Steele, and Michael Collins. And for staff, we have Marika, and I dare say Olaf is with Marika.
Excellent.
That's not correct, Glenn. I think Olaf might join a little bit later. He had another appointment.
Okay. Okay. Then we've just got Marika and myself on for staff.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I also received probable regrets from James Bladle. He is fighting an ice storm or something today. Doesn't think he's going to make the call or will be very late. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining again. Hopefully our other colleagues will be able to join us once the call's now that we're underway. Very much appreciate everybody also posting to the list. Marika and I cobbled together some very rough language, and it was, please, understood to be just that, to get our discussion going about the concluding statements for our initial report. And if I may, it strikes me that we seem to have, is it a fair statement, that people are comfortable with what we've put together for issues 3 and issue 2. All the discussion on the list seems to be focused on issue 1, so we'll get to that. But is it accurate to say that people are comfortable for our initial report with the summary or the concluding statement that we've provided for issues 2 and 3?
I'm happy. This is Michael Collins.
Please, go ahead, Michael.
I just was going to confirm that 2 and 3 are okay with me.
Great. Okay. As we go through the call, if something pops into someone's mind, you want to address 2 or 3, terrific. Otherwise, why don't we focus the bulk of the call on working out some consensus on issue 1. And again, for now, we will consider issues 2 and 3 good to go with the text we have. And again, folks, remember, this is our initial report, and we're sure to get feedback from the community, so there will be opportunity, even if you're not 100% comfortable with it. You know, there will be time to weigh in, et cetera. Okay, so getting back then to issue 1. We have a lot of good debate back and forth on the list. Much appreciate the inputs. And couple things strike me. We have, in our discussions on this issue, have talked and hoping that Mike Rodenbaugh will be able to join the call, but this notion or concept of recommending a significant change to WHOIS policy vis-a-vis trying to make the registrant email address publicly available. Again, you know, I don't think that's in our mandate. I kind of think that particular recommendation is a non-starter. People feel very strongly about it. We can include that point of view as an alternate opinion. But, you know, we've discussed it at some length. We've received pretty straightforward guidance from the chair and vice chair of the GNSL Council. That particular aspect, I think, really should be kind of left off or out of the report. On the focus of the discussion on the list, if I, you know, understood correctly, there's a definite group that's in support of making recommendations to change the existing structure, which allows the registrant to have sort of the ultimate say on a name, on a transfer. And it's been recognized again on the list that this can apply to, this can be an issue for in a domain name transaction, a sale, that this presents a potential for fraud, whereby the admin contact can approve the sale, and then the registrant comes in afterwards, may even be somebody originally involved, hence the fraud angle. And say that, you know, hey, this should never have happened, et cetera. And this sort of uncertainty in the process for the parties that tried to enter into the transaction in good faith, you know, is seen by some as a flaw in the process, and it needs to be addressed. Michael Collins, if hopefully not putting you on the spot, but is that fairly summarizing the concern you have and what you want to see addressed?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Of course, just for equal billing, there's the flip side to that coin, the potential for fraud that exists with the transfer process in general, in that the changes that were made back in 2004, a transfer request is now, it goes through automatically unless the registrant denies the request within the 5-day window. As a result, the market registrars in particular and registries that have to deal with allegations of fraudulent transfers see this registrant as ultimate authority as a security protection measure, because in cases where an illicit transfer attempt is made, it's the registrant who can initiate a process to recover their name when the transfer has been effected. And again, there are you can see both sides in this one. And as a couple of folks had noted on the list, trying to equate the two, registrant and admin, might be problematic from a security perspective, from that view. And security could create a security issue from that perspective. So I guess the challenge that we have as a group is if we, it seems some feel very strongly that we should be saying something about that, how we find a compromise, a balance here. And quite honestly, I'm wide open to any suggestions, because I think it's a very important issue, but at the same time one that an obvious compromise is kind of escaping me. So I hope the more clever and smarter people will have some ideas. And with that, please throw it open to the group.
This is Michael Collins. I'd like to start, if it's okay.
Please, go ahead, Michael.
First, I think the easiest compromise is the one that we spent so much time on, or easiest from a policy standpoint, not necessarily from a technical one. And that was, I think, where we started discussing issue one, and we spent most of the time. And that was, the best compromise is requiring the registrant to approve the transfer instead of allowing either the admin contact or the registrar to approve the transfer. However, it comes back to the problem that we face, which is how to provide the registrant email address to the gaining registrar in a secure manner. If we could solve that problem from a technical point of view, I think we would have a compromise on the policy part of it.
Okay. Others have thoughts on that? Third.
This is Mikey.
Mikey?
I'm sitting here kind of at a disadvantage because I don't have any email in front of me, and so I'm working off the draft. And as I read issue one, I'm not sure that this particular discussion is really what issue one is trying to get at. The reason that it comes up at all is because of the last sentence in the issue statement. This slows down or complicates the process for registrants, especially since the registrant can override the admin contact. It's almost a parenthetical at the end there. But I don't know that our brief really includes a discussion of changing the roles of the admin and the registrant contacts. I'm looking at issue one as what you were saying, Michael, a mechanism to provide that address. And maybe the thing to do is sidestep this issue, essentially park it somewhere and say, look, this came up. It's a tasty issue, but we feel it's outside our brief to resolve this one. The thing that we're really charged with resolving is trying to figure out a way to get that address to the gaining registrar in a secure manner, and then we have a whole bunch of sort of technical choices that we looked at. And so maybe one way to kind of chime in behind Michael, but at the same time take some of the pressure off this issue, is to say, you know, let's focus on the technical process, which I really think is the intent of the issue statement.
Okay. Michael, any thoughts you want to respond, or others?
Well, I only guess that, I'm sorry, I thought we had kind of exhausted the technical solutions and had exhausted them to the point that there were costs that we didn't have the ability or desire to impose on anyone to solve the technical problems. But I don't mind continuing to discuss it if there's a solution.
No, I think that's right. I think basically what our conclusion on issue one is we've looked at the technical solutions, which is really what that issue statement's all about. We've found that they would impose additional costs on the process, and we're not ready to recommend that. End of statement. And that the whole issue of the roles of registrant versus admin contact is really out of scope for what we're charged to do.
Mike Rodenbaugh, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think we could certainly make other recommendations, at least as to future work that might be done.
Well, that's fine. But I think in terms of this issue statement, you know, that would be, you know, Mike, you may have come in just a little bit after I started my rant, but my rant was, you know, let's park this one or give it to a subsequent group to look at or something, but that it's out of scope of this one.
How about this for the three mics and for the group? What if we were to try and craft the concluding statement, the summary statement, basically in two parts? We can say, you know, under a narrow focus or narrow view of the charter question, use Mikey's saying that we've, you know, looked at all the technical issues and don't feel that the additional costs or burdens that they impose are worth recommending at this time. However, or in addition, and then craft some language that would be forward-looking towards future groups should or may want to consider, something like that, and get at you know, what Michael Collins is looking for. Because, again, I wish I had printed it off. I don't have the list of future PDPs, but some of the future ones, the questions that they will address are broader and would, as I remember, lend themselves to, you know, would be within scope to take on some of the further reaching suggestions that, you know, we could at least put a placeholder out there serving notice for the future groups to deal with this. I mean, would approach like that, you know, initially say on a narrow reading of our charter question about, you know, technical means, we don't have anything to recommend at this time, and then, you know, however, there are these broader questions that we feel need to be addressed, and sort of lay out the concerns that we have, basically just lifting the language we have in the
This is Michael Collins. I'm back from being drawn.
Hey, Michael. Were you able to hear everything, Michael?
No, I just got back. I was dropped for about a minute. Sorry.
Okay. But in general, my suggestion right now is that, you know, basically to take what the three of you have said and offered up as a narrow response to the issue. The charter question would be, as far as technical issues are concerned, the group has looked at various potential solutions and finds that the costs are such that this time we don't have any recommendations. However, on the broader question, in particular the issues that you're raising on the list, and I would pull language from the emails, that we would encourage future PDP groups to consider looking at or taking on the broader question about registrant trumping admin, and is that appropriate, should they be of equal status, etc.
And I would like to make sure it's phrased after a transfer has occurred. I personally have no problem, and I don't think there's a security problem with the registrant trumping the admin, blocking a transfer. But I'm not sure it's appropriate to reverse a transfer that's already occurred.
Okay.
In the past.
And again, my thinking, Michael, is that you've explained your position very well in the email. So I would lift that language.
Okay.
Looking ahead, I have now, I found my printout, PDPB. Okay, so the follow-on one, the first two questions are going to talk about or focus on processes for returning, resolving domain names when there's either a hijacking attempt or some inappropriate transfers are needed. I mean, it would seem to me that this whole concern about a transfer is executed but there's some bad faith element and the registrant negates it, you know, that it would be within the scope of PDPB at least to take on the issue, so we could, you know, set it, kind of tee it up for them in our recommendation here.
Can you send that around, please, Paul?
The list?
Yeah.
Of the questions? I'll have to pull it up because I literally have a printout of it, Mike, but I definitely will. It was... I think something drafted from 19 March this year, but it was the thing that the previous group that Chuck Gomes headed listed with all the PDPs. I'll get that out to the group after the call.
Yeah, actually, it would be great to get that on the website because I'm constantly trying to find it. So maybe
Paul, I can try to pull it up now and send it to everyone during the call if I manage to find it.
It is on our list. I thought we had put it up, Marika. It's
the
inter-registrar transfer policy issues dated 19 March, pardon me. And it's there in PDF form. So it's the first thing under background documents, everybody, on our wiki site.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's there it is. And, all right, so, I mean, with all this discussion, I mean, are people comfortable with this sort of approach? Or our summary statement for issue one?
This is Mikey. I'd like to get on the queue.
Go ahead, Mikey.
I like the approach a lot. The one thing I'd like to do is lobby gently for some language on the technical side. You know, I know that in general we're a little edgy about costs, but at the same time, the techie in me says that it would be nice to sort of bring this issue to the community in such a way that they at least start thinking about their future operational systems. I wish James was on the call because he and I are sort of on the same square here, that the operational systems that we use to communicate between registries, registrars, and registrars between themselves, totally focusing on who is sort of antiquated and creaky, and this is but one of many issues that having who is as the core system creates for both registries and registrars. And so if there was some way that we could leave some wiggle room for people to at least start thinking about the next generation operational systems, I think that would be a helpful thing. I don't feel terribly strongly about that, but, you know, as a geek, I'm looking at who is and going, this is a really crummy system to do what we're asking it to do. And this might be an opportunity to at least highlight some of the alternatives and encourage people to start thinking about them.
scanning through the draft report that we have, Mikey, and
we have a fair,
James. Yeah, we
have a pretty good discussion in there. It's mostly just in terms of the language that you threw out on the first half.
Uh huh.
Instead of just saying we have no recommendation because of cost issues, if we could say something like, we have no immediate recommendations, but the group observed that there are many opportunities for operational systems improvements that registries and registrars might want to consider. Some sort of language like that. Just to sort of open the door without making a recommendation that people actually adopt these systems, but that they at least get a message that we noted how creaky that WHOIS system is getting, given, you know, how things have scaled and difference between thick and thin registries and, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Okay. Marika, I've been taking notes. Did you get that as well? So we can incorporate that in our next whack at this?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I wish I could type it, but I can't.
That's fine, Mike. Okay. We will definitely make an effort to incorporate that. Other thoughts, other concerns? Is there, again, getting back, are people generally comfortable now with trying to go in this, present issue one with this this approach?
Works for me.
Okay. You know, not hearing any immediate howls of protest, then let's...
I think as long as it's written in such a way that we're encouraging some attention to the underlying problem that I brought up, and I'm happy with the response to the technical question.
And just to make sure I got that clear, you are comfortable with the response to technical as long as your concerns are duly noted.
Exactly. Thank you.
Got it. Good. Okay. All right.
Also, and we haven't lost the WHOIS issue completely, right? Is that still in the report?
From what angle, Mikey? Yes. Excuse me, Mike. There's coverage on, I guess it's page 18 now, in the report. And then for the statement, the overarching statement, what?
I just don't want to lose the notion that, you know, potentially a change to WHOIS policy could resolve this problem if the registrant email address became a required WHOIS field.
Yeah. Okay. We did start the call, I guess, just before you come on with that. You know, we've discussed this one, Mike, and you know, it seemed to be, from my view, the broad consensus that there was that recommending a change in WHOIS policy.
I'm not recommending a change. I'm saying that it could be something that could be done. It could be further looked at. That's all.
Okay, let's do this. Obviously, Marika and I are going to have homework after this call. We will try to incorporate that, everybody's inputs, obviously, and get it out to the list quickly again with the goal. And then once you have the text in front of you, you know, if it's not up to anybody's standard, please make the edits. We'll adjust it from there. And we'll address that as well, Mike. We'll fit something in.
I might add, Mike, that I think that the public registrant who is would only partially solve the problem if the policy change, if there was not an accompanying policy change that required the gaining registrar to confirm the transfer exclusively with the registrant. If the admin could still approve it and the registrant could still reverse it, there would still be a problem. It would enable us to recommend, or someone to recommend, policy that would solve the problem, but in itself it would not. It would be a partial.
Yep, that makes sense to me. Thanks.
Yeah. I did want to come back to that notion of requiring the registrant's approval. just for a quick bit of history for the group, when this new transfer policy was put in place, a clear motivating force in making the changes, providing the system as we have it today, is that in the past, an affirmative consent to a registration was a requirement. Members of the community, the majority members of the community, felt that that was a problem, in that the argument was made that many registrars would not pass on the request. We're trying to find ways to use that as a hurdle.
Paul, I might make a careful distinction if I could interrupt you. That, in that older policy, it was the losing registrar that was responsible for that. And today, it's the gaining registrar that's responsible for doing the confirmation. I'm not proposing that we change that part.
Okay. Very
only
good clarification.
Only who they're able to make that a confirmation with, exclusively with the registrar.
Excellent. And I, thinking this on the fly, I didn't speak clearly, and a very good clarification, Michael. Because, of course, as the system is currently architected, even taking putting the onus on the gaining registrar to receive that consent gets us back to what if they can't get the registrar email, and then it comes full circle. So the recommendation is that you what exactly, where exactly are we? Technical means to share that and publication in the WHO is problematic on different levels. Then it's probably leaves you with the option of the more fundamental question, should the registrant continue to trump? I'm not sure. Let's do this, folks. Marika and I will work on a revised statement for a summary statement for issue one. Given there are many angles here, we'll ask everybody again to look at it carefully, closely on the list, and we can polish it in the interim. I don't want to unnecessarily cut this call short. We've only used a half hour today, but it just seems that if we're good on issues 2 and 3, we need to put together some revised drafts for issue 1. Maybe to wrap this one up early today, let Marika and I focus on issue 1, get it back out to everybody. And then, our goal might be to work on it in the intervening week. And then on next Tuesday's call, we can have a final run-through of the report, the draft that is posted again on the wiki. And, assuming there are no major concerns, we can then have the report ready for posting shortly after the call next week.
Paul?
Yes, who is that?
This is Mikey. Again, I apologize for not having the email draft in front of us. I'm looking at issue 2, and just could you summarize where we're at on that? Because I think I might want to lobby for the same sort of geek-oriented notion that I lobbied for in number 1, which is that... And I just can't remember what our summary statement was. So if somebody could remind me of that, that would be
helpful. Right now what we've said is that based on the discussions in the working group, there appears to be some agreement that there is a need for other options for electronic authentication. However, opinions in the working group differ as to whether this should be an issue for GNSO policymaking or for market solutions.
Oh, okay.
And then we have the kind of boilerplate for the rest. It should be noted that we won't take any final decisions until we've received community inputs, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Actually, that's perfect for number 1 as well. You might want to steal that kind of language for the geek stuff in number 1. Encouraging people to sort of be aware of this take a look at some of the technical options that we discovered during our research, offer their opinions. I think that would be just fine. Thanks. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry to derail you there.
No, not at all. So is this, this seem like a plan to folks? Again, we will, what we'll do is we'll repost, Marika and I will redraft issue one, and we're going to cut and paste two and three, so you'll have the three statements in front of you again. We will try and get this out to the list as soon as possible, certainly by sometime tomorrow. And then again, strongly encourage everybody, you know, take a look at it, recommend edits, you know, so we can more or less have worked through the text before our call next Tuesday. We can take some of the time next Tuesday if there are any additional things that need to be debated as far as the issue statements. Great. If not, we will kind of skim through the report, noting any of the changes that have been highlighted, past text edits, that is, address any other concerns people may have, and then you know, hopefully we'll be able to wrap that up on the call next week, but we can get this thing teed up and out for the public comment period. And at that time also, I guess we'll decide what the date should be with the holidays in front of us and whatnot. The standard 30 days may not be realistic, so we'll also have to decide as a group what the deadline should be. But with that, I mean, are there any other questions? Okay. Then, you know, please keep an eye on your inbox. Hopefully nothing gets shunted into spam folders, but know that it's coming in the next day. And, you know, please take a close look, make sure that you're comfortable, suggest any edits. If you see things in the report as well, feel free to raise them on the list. Give us a head start on next week's call. And we will try and pull this all together next Tuesday at the same time. And with that, I thank everybody for their time today. Talk to you all soon.
Great job, Paul. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Marika, will you have a moment?
Yep. Okay. Thanks for on the line.
Thank you. Okay. It's just us now.
Yeah, I guess you should ask the operator to stop the recording.
Yes.
Operator, are you there?
Yes, madam, I'll stop the recording.
Okay, thank you. Talking just before about spam folders.